me, Jesus.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. And this radio broadcast, WGOD, is brought to you by the excellent people of Island Community Church. All of us here at Island invite you to attend one of our services. Our next service is tonight, 6 o'clock. One of our church members, Bill Steinbrook, is going to be heading up for the next 3 weeks. An evangelism study, and actually it's something that we can participate in. It's a teaching on helping us to be better prepared to share the gospel with someone, or better prepared to give an answer. As Peter commands us, he says, always be ready to give an answer for the reason, for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. First Peter, I think it's 1 Peter 3:15. That's apologetics is the Greek word there. Apologia, a defense. Always be ready. Well, this is going to be a study for the next 3 weeks on how to do that. And we would love to see you tonight, 6 o'clock, Island Community Church. Join us in person, or if not, I encourage you, watch online here tonight. You're really going to be blessed by this. Island Community Church is the Facebook page as well. That'll turn on right at 6 o'clock. So if it's the 5:30 rebroadcast, you guys still have 30 minutes. If you're going to get home, flick this on, watch it over dinner tonight. Or if you're able to, I invite you to come here in person here, 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. Okay, on the radio, here we go. This is part two of the message I just preached on Sunday, the last hour. It's evidences and proofs that God's end times clock is ticking.
Even if I'm wrong, I'm still right, because the Bible says we're living in the last hour. But it's more than an hour, so something's got to mean something else. God's countdown clock has begun ticking again. You see, if you would have said that up to 1948, you would have been wrong, because Israel had to become a nation first before you could have said that. Sign number four. We've done three, right? Three is 200 million Chinese soldiers. Sign number four is COVID-19. And COVID is sign number four that we're living in the last hour. The Bible called it pestilence. Jesus gave us this mile marker and sign. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, it says, ethnic group will rise up against ethnic group, and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilences, plural, and earthquakes in various places. So the fourth sign that we're in the last hour is the worldwide spread of pestilence. Now, maybe you'd say to that, well, what about the Black Plague in 1346? The answer to that, nope, Israel wasn't a nation yet. There's always been various things going on. There's always been plagues. There's always been earthquakes. There's always been drought. But Jesus said, when you see all of these things going on at the same time, you smell that Maxwell House now. Smell that coffee brewing. No Israel, no mass return to Israel, No 200 million man army in China. That's why, bless your heart, you still could have read the word and said it is the last hour, but I won't say you're wrong because the Bible says it is. I'll say that your knowledge was limited and incomplete because there were still things that had to happen first. Israel had to be reborn again first. And now that that's happened, tick, 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 the clock's moving again. When you see all of these things, then recognize he is near at the door. All right, COVID, prove your point, Pastor Paul. COVID, look at how COVID is an end times player. This pestilence has terrorized the entire globe. COVID. It's fulfilled Revelation chapter 13. For the first time ever in the history of the world, Revelation 13, you can complete this sentence now, whereas you never could have before in the past. Listen to this verse, Revelation chapter 13, verse 16, says this. It says, he causes all, this is the false prophet we're talking about, he causes all, small, great, rich, poor, free, and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one can buy or sell, except he who has the charagma mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So, for the first time ever now, you can substitute mass, and you can substitute the word vaccine. And for the first time in the history of the globe, you can insert those words into this text, and this sentence makes sense now, whereas it never did before. Follow me here. No one can buy or sell except he that has the mask. Sound familiar? No one can buy or sell except he that has the vaccine. Wish we had some servicemen that were still active in the last 2 or 3 years here. I mean, didn't they court-martial you if you didn't have a vaccine? If you were a store owner, you couldn't open up your door without it. You couldn't go into Publix without the mask. My point is, no one for 2,000 years had been able to say, it's been clouded in mystery, but now for the first time, we can understand. Now, I didn't ask you if the vaccine was the mark of the beast. I asked you if the sentence makes sense today. That's the only thing I'm asking. Can't you see now how the government now has the ability to institute this? We've seen it. We've said it in here a million times, haven't we? This vaccine and this COVID, this was a dry run to see how you are going to do when the government forces you to do these things. This Greek word for mark is the word charagma, meaning a tattoo or some sort of identifying mark or an engraving of some sort. So this false prophet forces all people to receive a tattoo. He forces everyone to receive some kind of identifying mark so that no one can buy and no one can sell except the person that has the identifying mark. And now this is possible. So I say again that God's clock is ticking once again. And this verse now makes perfect sense where for 2,000 years it never made sense. Sign number 5, satellite television. Satellite television. Now, before CNN, you couldn't have said this. You would have been wrong. You wouldn't have been wrong if you said it is the last hour because the Bible says it's the last hour. But you would have had incomplete knowledge because this, Revelation chapter 11, which I'm going to read to you, has to take place first. Okay? Revelation chapter 11 talks about two mysterious men that are going to show up in Jerusalem and start preaching. At least I believe they're going to be preaching. They're witnesses. Witnesses to what? The time will tell, right? Whether it's judgment or whether it's the gospel. Now the Bible says this, Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, talking about their destruction. Now, when the two witnesses finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, that's the Antichrist, is going to make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. All right, he gave it away there. He's talking about Jerusalem, right? Then he says this. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies for 3.5 days, and they will not allow their dead bodies to be put in graves. And those that dwell on the earth, now catch the two names here, the two words, Mary and sending gifts to each other. You know, I wonder what time of year this is going to take place. Those that dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. They will make merry and send gifts to each other, because these two prophets tormented those that dwell on the earth. What a satanic Christmas time is this! The Bible says that in the last hour, two witnesses from God will be here preaching, I believe, in Jerusalem. And at their death, the entire world will see them dead all at the same time. And they will all send gifts to each other. For 1,970 years, that was impossible. But now, here today, Revelation chapter 11, right alongside chapter 13 in this mark, right alongside the 200 million man army on the other side of the river. All these things are in place now. And that clock, God's prophetic clock, just keeps on ticking. Tick, 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 tick. And the Son of God stands up from his throne, and he readies himself at the threshold. Are you ready for his return? Are you guys ready for his return? He's coming back again, he says, inflicting vengeance on those that don't know God and on those that don't obey the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. Point number 6. Indifference in the church. Or will you substitute when the church doesn't give a rip anymore? Or as Jesus calls them, the lukewarm church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I know your works. This is the Lord Jesus speaking to the spiritual leader of the church. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. See, he can even handle it if you're cold. But lukewarm is the condition. Well, look what he says here. Since you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, okay, notice the last end times church is deceived. They think that they're okay when in fact they're not. He says, because you say, not that I say, you say, because you say that you're wealthy, you have become rich and have need of nothing. I know a lot of churches like that today. Because you say, I am wealthy and I've become rich and I don't need anything, thank you very much. And you do not know that you're a wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. See, this is another sign. This is another sign that this end times clock is ticking the last minutes away of the last hour. The church of Jesus Christ being lukewarm and indifferent, and it's lost its zeal. The church of Jesus Christ being sissies. Indifference in the church, God help us. Indifference in the church. Having one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. shutting your doors because the city official told you to close your doors for a virus. And the church just doesn't do anything. And they say, all right, your wish is my command. I bow down to you. Indifference in the church when the church just doesn't care anymore. And they're too busy trying to please the world instead of being what he's called us to be. Mouthpiece for God, right? At least you guys know for 1 hour here out of 168, you're going to hear the truth here, right? We might not like it. I think we all do. It's not castor oil, is it? Now, Al, the pastor of Jerusalem Baptist, who's invited me to preach in his church, he's preached in this church. And he personally told me, personally, that the Israeli government was fearful to close his doors during COVID because Israel was fearful of interfering with God and interfering with the church. They wouldn't do that there, but look around here. That was one of the catalysts that has brought Island Community Church to where we are now. When the other churches had their doors shut, our doors were open here. You didn't have to come if you don't want. I love you and I'm for you. You can watch from at home, but by golly, our doors are going to be open in here. The government is not going to shut the doors of this church. And it'll keep going long after I'm dead. It'll keep going. Because Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. How can the government do it? What characterizes a lukewarm church? A church that won't tell you to look around, that the coffee pot's brewing, a pastor that won't help you get your priorities right. According to the Word of God, a sign that it's the last hour will be when the church is like a dead fish. The church is lukewarm, like the water in that tank back there. Lukewarm. The church will be worldly. Now, when the church is worldly, then you'll know that the end times clock is ticking again. Okay? When the church is worldly, then you'll know. Worldly, like homosexual pastors, gay women leading churches. As the spiritual leader of the church, you know, they just announced this week, I just read it this week, that the Presbyterian Church, PCUSA, has officially endorsed operations and surgeries for children that want to change their sex. Now, in times past, something like that could not have happened. Dodger Stadium a year or two ago when they had a little special transvestite celebration in there and turned the whole baseball stadium during a baseball game. They had people coming in, men dressed as women with lipstick on, mocking all the Christians there. In the old days, something like that could not have taken place because the church wouldn't have stood for anything like that before. And that's another sign, this clock, that's another sign that he gives us to know that his return is near is when the church is worldly like this and just doesn't give a rip anymore. And they don't stand up for truth like they used to. Okay, that's six, isn't it? Only keep you guys another hour today. You guys visiting. God, Lord. 3 hour service. I've got a new one I'm going to add to this list this time around. So this will be point number seven. Don't put them sheets away yet. You see? I do have my big gavel here today. Point number seven. The rebirth of Sodom. What a look on your face. That's how the looks used to be. But people have got everyone to accept that. The rebirth of Sodom. Point number seven. Sign number seven, that God's end times hourglass is running out of sand. It's everywhere. It's all around us. It's force-fed on society today. And the Lord Jesus specifically uses it as a mile marker that his return is near. And you can read that in Luke. You know, I didn't write down the verse. I think it's Luke 17:26. It says this. This is the only place you'll find this. When he talks about the days of Noah, when you read it in Luke, he also says this. Let me read it to you. Now, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. For they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. That just means they were just going about their everyday lives, oblivious to their surroundings. Nothing wrong with getting married, right? That's just unaware of spiritual things, unaware, you know, he said, can you discern the signs of the times? So they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Then, verse 28, catch the word likewise here. He says this, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. Now, I don't see one sin listed in all of those, do you? They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Then he says this, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So remember, this entire chapter was given in a response to a question. What will be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of the end of the world? So what characterized Sodom? Answer, homosexuals demanding their rights. Now that's not an exaggeration. You can read it. It's Genesis chapter 19, verse 4, where it says the young and the old. Because the young were already indoctrinated into this because they learned it, because their kids were members at Sodom Elementary. Hopefully you don't have that bumper sticker on your car, do you? My kid's an honor student at Sodom Elementary. The young and the old demanded that God's two angels come outside. And they busted the door down to get to them. That is a sign, not according to Paul W. Esposito, but according to the Lord Jesus Christ, who carries a little bit more weight than me. That'll be the sign. When it's just like it was in the days of Lot, when it returns to that again, then you'll know that my return is near. And they never would have gotten away with that. You see, number seven is not possible without number six. Indifference in the church. It's because of number six that number seven happens, because the church isn't standing up for righteousness anymore. Because of that, you see, the Bible says, while men slept, the enemy came, so tares among the wheat. And that's what we're living in now. The church is asleep at the wheel. Then the enemy can come in and sow his ilk out here in the world today. Don't misunderstand me. This is a great message of hope here today. This is both a warning and it's a message of hope. I look around me, and these are some troubled times that we live in. But you and I have an escape clause written into our contract with God. It says in Title A, paragraph 1, the aforementioned God has said, pray you be counted worthy to escape all of these things. and stand before the Son of Man. Imagine that, like getting through one hurdle, like Indiana Jones, getting through one only to stand before the Lord with his penetrating eyes. John said when he saw him, he said, I fell at his feet like a dead man. Isaiah, when he saw him, cried out and said, woe is me, I'm ruined, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Question, are you able to stand? That's my question. His eyes are like a flame of fire. Are you able to stand? God is holy and pure light. Are you able to stand? Walk before me and be thou perfect, blameless. Are you able to stand? Revelation 6:17 says, and I leave you with this today. He says, the great day of his wrath is come. And who is able to stand? So, little children, it is the last hour. God's end times clock is ticking. Will you be counted worthy to escape all of these things that are going to come to pass? There's only one way to be counted worthy, and that is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he gives you, he imparts into you, his righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, we exalt your holy name today. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Make the hair stand up on our arms thinking. But if you've heard this sermon 50 times, how all the signs point to the clock ticking and that your return is near. We want to be counted worthy. So everyone in here in this church, anyone that's listening in on the radio, or anyone that's watching in on YouTube right now, we want to be counted worthy, so we call on the name of Jesus Christ. We receive you today, Lord Jesus, just like we learned that if we confess you before men, you will confess us before your Father, which is in heaven. So we confess your name here today. We believe Jesus Christ is Lord. We receive him today as Lord. We call on your name here today. We pray you would speak our name here in heaven today. And that when this time comes, should this happen in our lifetime, that we too would be counted worthy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying in our place. Thank you for reconciling us back to the Father. We can't help but return, give you glory, worship you, and praise you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. And it's in your name that we can pray and do pray and in the power of your name here today. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.